The Gospel from John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Jesus said, "I tell you, if the people were silent, the very stones would shout out." Please be seated. One verse from that epistle lesson that Honor read for us. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. In this season of creation, in this month of July, we have moved from how we started at the beginning of the month, that we are ourselves creation. And that as creation, we are rooted in Christ, with our theme, rooted in God's living soil. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Andrew from Emmaus talked about how we steward the earth and the earth stewards us back. And together with the earth, we shout with joy to our God. Last week, Pastor Eric Dole was here from United and talked about the decay and breakdown when creation and we ourselves also sigh in groaning too deep for words amidst forest fires and other natural disasters. Today, we turn from that lament to something new. What was old has passed away, something new has come into being. It is a service today of joy, recognizing that from death comes life, that there is resurrection. And our focus today is that phrase in 2 Corinthians, new creation. The emphasis of it is on that new. But of course, what makes something new? What makes how we live now new creation? Paul uses the phrase only twice in all of his letters, and both are distinctly about something radically new and different has arisen. Paul believes that Jesus has done something utterly unknown. Something has radically changed. And I think for us, in just regular life, when we hear that something is radically new, I think we've been trained to be pretty skeptical. It seems that we automatically assume that if something is presented as truly new, then probably it's either not very good, meaning there's a reason we didn't have this already, or more likely, you're calling it new, but in reality it's something we've always had, and I'm getting really skeptical of why you seem convinced that you need to tell me it's new. I think that's how we've often been led to think of new things. And to illustrate that frustration that can come with it, I want to talk for a minute about my time when I was a faculty member at Concordia Portland before I came to Central. And I had a wonderful time teaching classes there and working with students. But the business side of the university was something else. And not something that I, as a lowly theology instructor, was very involved in. But you knew what was happening, and frequently the tenors of it didn't sound too good. And it was a failing university on its last legs, and you had business managers trying desperately to salvage something. And of course, most of us on faculty and staff didn't have a lot of confidence. These are the same people who got us in this mess, but that was a different story. But that they recognized there needed to be change. We needed something new and different. So every year, before the school year started, there'd be an all-staff and faculty retreat where the administration team of various sorts, would roll out our new focus and model for how we are going to turn around the culture of the university this year. And every year, they would bring a new model they adapted of some new business strategy, usually from a corporate model, and say, this is how we're going to create a new thing here and do new things that we've never done before. For example, when I first started, they were really into the fish philosophy. It came from Pike Place Fish Market in Seattle. And it included ideas like, have fun at work, and it builds collaboration and teamwork, and we're going to really pull together. And what it'll do is it'll change our culture to something new, and it'll increase efficiency by increasing productivity, decreasing needless waste. And if we don't do this thing this year, it's all going to fall apart, and we very well might have to close. The next year, it was Toyota's lean philosophy, and it was a totally new thing that we'd never done before, and there were various mission statements and things that went with it, but the payoff was that this would increase efficiency by increasing productivity, decreasing needless waste, and if we don't do this specific thing, we very well want to have this. The next year, it was a customer service model that I couldn't quite remember, but I think it was from Home Depot. And it was about ensuring people got very prompt responses and being a people-first institution, which, of course, had the payoff that if you did this, we'd increase efficiency so we could increase productivity. And you see where this is going. There were more. And every year, it was a new initiative. We seemed to try something for 9 months, then start completely over with some new thing that if we would have stuck with, it would have been a massive overhaul. And I don't know much about the business end of higher education or business administration in general, but I don't think a calendrical, a plan to new initiatives that would take years to accomplish really are going to be very successful. And they weren't. And that's, I think, what often we think about newness. We throw around a bunch of new names and new energy and talk about being different and in order to accomplish new things we've never done before. And in order to accomplish all those new things, we'll go along merrily doing what we always did without changing a single thing. That, I think, is what we've been trained to think of when someone brings what's new here. It's either not really new, or if it is new, then it's not very valuable. But Paul presents it differently. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. So how can we, here, with our understanding of new things, find this to be genuine, real, and meaningful? After all, it's been talking about new creation. Well, you notice the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about creation. And we've really been emphasizing that creation isn't something that God did a whole long time ago and then stopped doing. It's continuing on all the time. It continues. It lives in us. So what makes it new now this week? What for Paul is new? Of course, Paul is thinking of the cross, of the resurrection, and certainly it is all about Jesus, but wasn't it always all about Jesus? Like the gospel reading we've had for every one of these weeks in the season of creation, Jesus was the one through whom all things were created. It was always all about Jesus. So what does Paul mean? New creation. I think there's a clue here that we can easily read too quickly. When Paul talks about new creation, Paul sets that up at the very beginning of our reading. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. From now on. I hope that shocks you a little bit. What's the now Paul's talking about? He seems to be talking about the inbreaking of Christ in the world at his incarnation, at his crucifixion, at his resurrection. So what's the now Paul's writing 20 to 30 years after that happened. Shouldn't it be from then forward? Not from now on? But that's not what Paul says. He says, from now on, we who are in Christ, we could see the world from a different point of view. Even if it was about Paul's own personal relationship with Jesus, which, by the way, I don't think it is. I do think it's about Jesus coming into the whole world. But even if it was about that, then you would still have it in the past. It would be about his experience on the road to Damascus. But he doesn't say that. From now on. So what's this now business? Remember what Paul says. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. When has everything old passed away? When is the new thing here? It's always right now, in the present. See, when we think of something new, we usually are talking about it in chronological terms, temporally new. It wasn't before, but it is now. Well, of course, by definition, that can only happen once. Once that new thing has arrived, now it's old. But I would challenge us to think about new in a different way. New can be a temporal marker, but it can also be a quality marker. The way something is fresh. So for God, new isn't a when at all. It's a who. Paul says, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. It is about us in Christ. And the newness is in Christ. The way Christ relates to us is always fresh and always new. The same relationship we have on the day of our baptism is the same relationship we have with Christ today. It's always fresh. Not a when, but a who. The who, God, is not the same kind of chronological beings that we are. What for us is the past, the present, the future, for God is always just the present. We live in the past. The traumas, the sins, the errors, the pain we have experienced in our lives, either things committed against us or things we've done ourselves, what we'd call result of sin in the world, those things live inside of us and persist. We hate them, but they persist. That's because we are chronological in that way. We can hold on to what was and embody it into what is. But God isn't like that. God lives in the right now, always. One theologian famously said, if we were to ask God, what about all those sins and errors I have offended you in the past? Don't you kind of hold them against me at least a little? He hypothesizes God would respond, I don't remember what you're talking about. The forgiveness we receive is total, but more than that, holding on to what is yesterday is a human thing, not something God does. In God, it's always today. Always God is creating. Always God is becoming human. Always God is dying on the cross. Always God is being resurrected. Always God is reaching and speaking to you afresh every day. Always you are being baptized. Always God is making you a new creation. It's saying that aspect of God who is, the newness and freshness of life is in you today. And the same thing will be just as true tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. So when Paul says that from now on, that's absolutely how God operates. Every day is from now on. Every day God acts in creation as new creation. It's new in the sense that it's fresh, it's vibrant, it's alive. In that sense, it's always new. It was not then new and now old. It's just new. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. You are always a new thing coming into being. There is the new creation, wherever Christ is in us. Being rooted in God's living soil is being always new. Always being love, accepted and established and rooted in who God is in our lives. You are a new creation. Thanks be to God. Amen.